Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts, also known as the Word is the Way to Life broadcast. Well, the Word is Jesus, and He came, and He was manifested in the flesh, and He dwelt among us, and He has shown us the way to life. But He also had somebody by the name of Solomon. And Jesus was there when Solomon was there, because Jesus has been here since the foundation of the earth. But here we are. We started this look at Ecclesiastes and Solomon back in September 2024. Don't seem possible now, that long ago, but here we are at the conclusion of what Solomon finally got to after all of that stuff. You know, there's a time for this, a time for that, time to die, time, but you don't remember all of those as it began. But here I want to share with you chapter 12, verses 9 through 14, and this is Solomon's concluding thoughts, New Living Translation. Because the teacher was wise, he taught the people everything he knew. He collected proverbs, classified them, and indeed the teacher taught the plain truth, and he did so in an interesting way. A wise teacher's words spur students to action and emphasize important truth. They collected sayings of the wise and are like guidance from a shepherd. But, you know, I love the buts in the air. But my child, he warned, there is no end of opinions ready to be expressed. Studying them can go on forever and become very exhausting. Here's my final conclusion. Fear God and obey His commands, for this is the duty of every person. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether it's good or bad. May God add His blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of His holy and precious word. You know, Solomon is, I think sometimes we forget about Solomon and the wisdom that he brought to us. He wrote the Song of Songs. He wrote Proverbs, most of them anyhow. And my question for all of this is, what images does the word editor suggest to you? Well, sometimes I guess if you think of an editor maybe doing a newspaper article and all that kind of stuff, and I always think about, maybe in a dark room, you know, this person that's doing the editing of these articles is chewing on a cigar, welding a blue pencil with ferocious zeal, and hacking at his reporter's articles so that they're almost unrecognizable. And when he's finished with them, maybe perhaps you've been reading too many comic books. I don't know. I don't want to edit Solomon's words, that's for sure. But the passage that I just read, many scholars believe that an editor who has apparently written down the teacher's words adds some comments at the end. But think about this. What does the editor say? I think essentially he'll say, this is all good stuff. Why? Because the teacher was wise and he imparted knowledge. He thought matters over, and he chose his words carefully because he wanted to teach what was upright and true. But he did not mean to give his readers a easy ride, if you would, if you remember all the readings from the scriptures from chapter 1 to where we are now in the concluding thoughts of chapter 12. His words are like goads sometimes, or nails, and they dig at you, prodding you into thought, good thought, bad thought, all kind of thoughts, because the process can be painful. And I think most of us would agree, having worked through the teacher's collected sayings, whether it's in Proverbs or the Song of Solomon, and more importantly, what we've been looking at is in the book of Ecclesiastes, I think the teacher, Solomon, I think he has a pastor's heart. Because what he said will not lead you astray. So our challenge is to listen to him. And let him challenge us regarding how we think and how we live. But still, all the teaching and study must come to an end. And here we are at the concluding thoughts of Solomon. What should you do? Well, he said, fear God and keep his commandments, remembering that God will bring every deed into judgment. The teacher has already spoken of fearing God, and I think that word fear means love God out of respect and awe of God's judgment. But the reference to the commandments, that's new, as the idea that keeping them is the duty. Here it is, church, the duty of all mankind. Well, some have seen chapter 12, 13 and 14 as a piece of pious spinning, doctoring the editor's disapproval of the teacher and aim to encourage readers towards a more conventional piety focused on the law of Moses. But, it sounds like a motor road, but that seems unlikely, doesn't it? Because if the editor didn't like what the teacher wrote, one could simply have burned the scroll. I think chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, not as rejecting as what the teacher said, but a skillful summarizing of his main points. Fear God and keep his commandments. That does indeed capture much of the teacher's thought, I think, including everything that he said about recognizing our limitations and examining our aims and our motives about avoiding frustration and evil in all forms. I think the final reference to God's judgment underscores what has emerged as one of the foundations of the teacher's worldview. We are accountable to God for how we conduct ourselves, no doubt about that, both in public and private. The teacher may have had an unusual teaching method, but what he said doesn't always sound like other parts of the Old Testament, does it? But he is a true representative of the Israelite faith, who desired to see his readers walking in the ways of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, the teacher says, and he gave his faithful servant, the teacher, a way to communicate with the masses. What a wonderful thing. I think much study wearies the Bible and the body sometimes. We get so frustrated with it. But what is the link between study and discipleship? I often wondered about that. And how much time should we spend studying, and what should we do with the study, or what should we do with what we learned in the study, more importantly? I think briefly, you skim through the entire book of Ecclesiastes, and I have done it in the past. This is the first time I ever did an intense study of the book of Ecclesiastes. And as we skim through it sometimes, reminding ourselves of its context, do you agree with the interpretation of what Solomon's words said that had been offered in this study that we have done together since September? That he is a true representative of the Israelite faith, or Hebrew scripture, or Israeli scriptures? More importantly, Jesus revealed from the Old Testament to the New Testament, because he is. I think with one unconditional teaching method, or do you think maybe the look at the book differently now that what we looked through it and we have been this study together for quite a few months? In either case, my prayer for all of us is, what would you take away from your study listening to this old preacher interpret some of Solomon's writings, and more importantly, letting us know as he comes to the conclusion is this, verse 13, New Living Translation. He said, here is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey His commandments, for this is the duty of every person. Wow. Solomon's accomplishments are really something. And you focus on verse 13 that I just read. Here is my final conclusion. But is Solomon missing the forest for the trees? Or is a well-known saying meaning that a person can get so caught up in the details at hand that sometimes they miss the point? I think most of us, myself included, fall into this trap when it comes to planning our daily life. I wish I had more discipline in planning my daily life. As I look back in my life, I say, oh, Robbie, you wasted a lot of time. But what is our purpose here on earth? To honor and glorify God? Working diligently to follow the principles set forth in His Word? But, you know, I love the buts. But what we do, what do we do instead? Well, sometimes we focus on the details at hand. Climbing the corporate ladder, which I like doing. I used to call it chasing the brass ring. Well, accumulating material things. Running children to every conceivable sporting event. Participating in things or on a committee. But maybe we've lost the big picture. So this is what Solomon is telling us. Take a hard look at your to-do list. If there's anything on it that's going to develop your relationship with God, keep on doing it. But if there is something there that might not be pleasing to Him, you can cross it off and exchange it for something real and lasting significance. Believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and you'll be saved. Saved from what, preacher? Saved from eternal damnation with the gift of eternal life. I want to close by repeating what he said. Here's my final conclusions. Fear God and obey His commandments, for this is the duty of every person. And in verse 14 it says, God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. You know, the Bible says first comes death and then the judgment. So we should not fear the judgment. If we're obeying God's commands and doing the best that we know how to do and put God first in our life, we don't have to fear the judgment. Yeah, that's cool, isn't it? Well, we also do this little podcast as we close with prayers. We all know that we have people that we want to lift up. People say to you, keep me in your prayers or pray for me. And that's wonderful. And we do, and we want to do it. But I always tell people, you know, I don't mind praying for you. In fact, I love praying for you. But, you know, you can pray to God yourself. He wants to talk to you, and you should be able to learn to talk to Him. Now, we come into a prayer of agreement and intercession, and that's all wonderful, too. But when the disciples realized that Jesus, when He went off by Himself, they wondered, what are you doing after dinner? You know, we got the fire, the fish. You know, Jesus cooked the fish, and that's a scripture for this week. And then you go off by yourself, and they wondered, what in the world are you doing? Jesus said, hey, guys, you know, I'm God manifested in the flesh. I think you come to know that now. But I am fully God and fully human. So since I am fully human, I experience everything you do, including I get tired and I need rest and I need food. And I need to talk to the Father. Wow. Can we do that? He said, yeah, I'm going to give you a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with. We commonly call this the Lord's Prayer. I like to call it the Disciples' Prayer, because over in John chapter 17, I think is the real Lord's Prayer. And why do you say that, preacher? Because He prayed for us. But He told the disciples, here's a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with. As we close, the Word is the Way broadcast on the book of Ecclesiastes. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, tune in again next week. We're going to start a new series, and we're going to be looking at the book of Psalms. A lot of Psalms. And we'll do the same thing with the book of Psalms as we did by looking at the book of Ecclesiastes. So thank you for tuning in to The Word is the Way to Life. Looking forward to have you on board again next week as we start the series on the book of Psalms. God loves you, and so do I.